Thank you, Miss Lindell. Take your Bibles, if you would, this morning. Go to Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews 11 will be in Hebrews chapter 12, but kind of put something there in the Bible. We'll be back and forth between the two. Again, with Memorial Day just around the corner, much could be said. We are patriots here at Landmark. And I believe that God raised up a nation, amen, and did something special here, much like our founders. I wrote something to kind of condense my introduction today. It's not my habit to do so, but I will do it because if I get speaking openly about the cause of freedom and where we are today, I often cannot stop myself, and I do not want to do that today. I wanted to get to the scripture, but I do want to say some things. I read just a few quotes and wanted to be able to bring that. Memorial Day, again, let me remind you, is a day to solemnly remember those that have given and paid the ultimate sacrifice for freedom. We look back at those, and it's good for us to remember that freedom is worth dying for. Too many times in our lives, we haphazardly take for granted the freedom that we have in Christ. And just like that, as Americans, we are unthankful for the great price that has been paid for our freedom. Thomas Jefferson said this: "Can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when we have removed their only firm basis, a conviction in the minds of the people that these liberties are the gift of God, that they are not to be violated but with His wrath? Indeed, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just and His justice cannot sleep forever." When we see the nation and where our nation has gone from its foundation to now, we cannot help but, like Jefferson, tremble. For God's hand will not be stayed forever. Judgment comes upon every nation that turns its back upon God. If you don't believe so, there was a time in history when Russia was free. One of the men who, under communist oppression, his name is Alexander, and I'm not going to get this right, Solzhenitsyn, said, "We didn't love freedom enough. Even more, we had no awareness of the real situation we were in. We spent ourselves in one unrestrained outburst in 1917. If you don't know when that was, it was the Bolshevik Revolution. Then we hurried to submit. We submitted and simply deserved everything that happened after. Freedom isn't free. It comes at a high cost of toil, sacrifice, sweat, blood, and even death. We often forget because we don't rehearse it in our ears. I wrote this morning and we'll pray. Tomorrow, this great nation will observe a day set aside to preserve the memory of countless patriots, those who cannot assemble together with us, but who, for the cause of freedom, paid the ultimate sacrifice. These heroes are etched by name in stone monuments as a memorial to their bravery and their sacrifice for freedom. Some known only as the unknown soldier who remains, listen to this, remains are guarded and honored in Arlington Cemetery. Others lay in field of crosses under foreign soil, having taken the fight to the enemies of freedom far from home. On this Memorial Day, let us solemnly remember the high cost of freedom, letting each flag that flies high for freedom remind us of the thousands that drape the coffins of the honored dead. Then, with a wholesome patriotic voice, rehearse their memories to our children and our children's children, lest they forget that freedom is not free. For remembering our heroes of the past prepares the patriots of the future for the day that will come, when true freedom will require more sacrifice." Let's pray this morning. Dear God, as we come to you, Lord, we pray for our nation. We think back about those that have given their lives for our freedom. I think this morning of the Lord Jesus Christ, who paid the ultimate sacrifice so that I could be not only free on this land, but Lord, free from my sin and have a home in heaven. Today I pray, as we open your word, Lord, I pray you'd help our nation turn back to you. This morning I pray that you'd help us to solemnly remember those in our nation who, for the love of freedom in their country, paid the ultimate sacrifice. Now as we look for those who, many who were faithful and lived for you, Lord, I pray as we remember them, Lord, that you'd help us today be strengthened, not only as a nation, but as believers, to fight for the cause of freedom and faith. We ask it all in the name above every name, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Your Bibles are in Hebrews chapter number 12 and verse number 1. I want you to begin reading, and I want you to see some things here in the scripture this morning. He says in verse number 1, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradictions of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin." In our day, we look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, but the Bible begins this chapter with wherefore. It begins with wherefore because when you see that, you have to look back to see what came before it. And oftentimes in our memories, in our mind, we miss this and we miss the facts that are coming here. But here, wherefore, refers back to the hall of faith. For a title, this morning's message will be Remember and Keep the Faith. Remember and keep the faith. Even Thomas Jefferson and almost every one of our founders believed that freedom was not something that was given or taken, but was given by Almighty God. It wasn't given by a man or by a nation, but was something that God created every man to be. They not only lived that way, but they died that way. And throughout the history, we have had people who, of the faith, believed that a Savior would come and set us free. Amen. They put their faith and trust and lived their lives according to it. And they're recorded in Hebrews chapter 11, and we call it the Hall of Faith. When the Bible says, wherefore, he is speaking. He says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. The recording of all these witnesses that it is referencing is chapter 11. So turn with me, if you would, to chapter number 11 and look at the first few verses there. He defines faith. This morning, number one, I want you to know that we need to remember the faithful. Here the Bible defines what faith is, and if we're going to be marked by being faithful, we have to know what faith is. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." He goes on, he says, "By faith Abel offered God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained," look at this, "witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh." He goes on, "By faith Enoch," look down at verse 6, "but without faith it is impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Number one, you need to remember the faithful. Folks, I want you to remember that when we have Memorial Day, we look back at folks who have paid the ultimate sacrifice for our nation, but they are not only those that paid that sacrifice for freedom. Freedom is not an idea that man came up with, but is one that is a gift of God. And for us to remember not only our honored dead as a nation, we are not exempt from falling by the wayside of history as every other nation that had some semblance of freedom when they got sloppy, lazy, and did not reverence those that had come before them. You don't think Babylon had some greatness to it where it conquered all the world? That it wasn't just all the heathen, but they had an idea to set. They enslaved others, but had freedom themselves. Then you can move down. They got lazy, fat, and sloppy. And in came the Medes and the Persians and busted up a world empire and split amongst themselves. The Medes and the Persians didn't keep it forever. Down the road here came Rome. Kind of early through Greece, but Alexander. But Rome took over the world and built roads all over the world. Folks, I just want you to know, there was a lot of our foundational documents. They look back to some of the things that happened in Rome to govern us and to the Word of God. But folks, I want you to understand that Rome got lazy. They were unthankful. When they realized that they could vote in free bread for themselves and they didn't have to work anymore. When they realized that they could just manipulate the politicians to stay in office, that they would give them whatever they wanted. When they came to that place, when they put more money in their citizenship than in the army that defended them. Listen, you say, well, you believe in a man's army? Listen, I'm just telling you, you don't want to ask me what I believe. Because America would look a lot more like Israel. It would do every young person that came through our high schools a lot of good to serve in the military. There's a lot of them that would have a lot more discipline. There's a lot of them that were never taught in the schools to love their country. But by serving it is how we learn best to love something in it. Folks, I just want you to know, remembering the faithful, you say, well, I don't want my kid in the military. Listen, I didn't say that. That's not Bible. That was me. Amen. Remember the faithful. Too oftentimes our memories betray us. He goes on in this chapter. It's not just wherefore the faithful, but he says to keep the faith. Look at verse 6. To keep the faith and to please God. But without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He goes on. Those that really reverence God by faith know, of being warned of God of the things not seen as yet. What do you mean that not seen as yet? It had never rained on the earth. Nobody had ever used a boat to go somewhere. God's going to come to you, somebody that believed God by faith and said, hey, how about all the people that mock us because we believe that Jesus is coming again? And he's going to snatch out his church and take us with him. Much like Noah. Noah was snatched up in a boat and stayed above while everyone else drowned beneath. Folks, I'm just here to tell you, we come to a day and a time when people forget not only the faithful of the past, but they forget those that to keep the faith in the day and age we live. We live in a day where separation is not a separation from a dirty old nasty world, but unto a loving God who sent his Son from heaven to die on Calvary. We live in a day where separation seems like an evil word, but it is simply a word that means that you love God enough to live close to him. Amen. Say, what is church? It's the church assembling and coming out from among them. The world today is on a holiday. They celebrate something that they should reverence. They'll go out and do things that people never gave their life for, but they have the freedom to do them because those who paid the ultimate price gave them their freedom. Amen. To do those things. I believe that they died so that I could keep the faith. See, we're not so far removed from the early days of our country that we don't realize that the reason that most of us even are here is because we left some place that would not let us worship God in truth. And we left those places that we were born and raised, and the piece of dirt that even back then would give us pride, but we left flag, family, and foreign soil to come to a nation that would allow us to freely worship a holy God and worship him the way his word said to be worshiped. That is to remember to keep the faith. We are not free so that we can go about and do whatever we wish. We are free to worship God. Freedom came from God to freely worship him. You say, well, I don't know about that, preacher. Yes, Look on. He says, Noah. He moves on. By faith, Abraham, in verse number 8, when he was called to go out into a place where he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Do you know Abraham was called to go out not knowing which way he was going? Do you know the faith of this Christian life is simply to follow God wherever he takes us? Whether he takes us to a dead end at a Red Sea, knowing that the things which are impossible for us are not impossible with our God. And as we go forward, we need to keep the faith. When a time and an age where it seems impossible to live for God, because you'll be ridiculed and mocked, called a cult, and every other thing under the sun, we need to keep and stay the course. Remembering the faithful of the past and staying faithful today. Realizing that in the future there will be no crown for compromise. But for those that keep the faith. Folks, we must go forward in faith. We must, like those that are our hallowed dead, that kept the faith in some. Look here, he says, then he doesn't just list men. He says in verse 11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Do you know if we just judge God and believe in him, God can do the unthinkable. God can move mountains and help us over the mountains that he will not move because he wants to strengthen us in this earthly life. Therefore sprang up in verse 12, there even one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Look at verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, confessing that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. I can't help but read this verse and apply it to us as Americans. As those that had the promise of freedom loaded on boats, many of them never made it to a place where they worshiped on free soil. Many of them only for the hope that was set before them, only for the promise of freedom, got on boats and came. They gave up everything to embrace the opportunity to worship in a free land. We must remember those that were faithful. We must remember to keep the faith, not just for ourselves, but because we run a race. He says, wherefore? We have such a cloud of witnesses. Folks, I want you to remember we live in a day and age where we're not just the only ones. I have folks in heaven. I don't know about you, but there are folks that have invested in me that have gone before, that look down from heaven now as I run my race and you run your race. And I want to keep the faith. I don't want them to look down with tears in their eyes because I'm running with compromise and I've changed my standards and my everything that I am, but that I'm keeping on in this day and age. I want them to cheer me on in my race and say, go on, Landmark Baptist Church. Keep on for the Lord. Keep doing what you've always done. Stay the course until Jesus comes. I want to remember the faithful and stay the course. I don't remember the keep the faith that was once delivered to the saints. And I want to remember this. Look down with me, way down in the chapter. I want you to see, to remember these others. Do you know there are nameless and countless men that have given their lives and they have no name but just some marker where they were buried? Even the unknown soldier's tomb, what an honorable place. I don't even know another nation that does what we do, where we guard it 24 hours a day through sleet and snow and rain and stand because of an honored person that we cannot name. We don't know his rank or where he came from, but we know that he served and gave his life for our nation. Our scripture lists and marks those that throughout history, if you don't realize it, folks, we can name Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We can look back to a Noah, but there are tons of nameless men and women who for the promise of God, the faith that they kept in their lives, and this book, they kept on keeping on for God. And the Bible only lists their names as others. Look at the scripture with me. I want you to see this. He says, let's go back. He names in verse 32 people like Gideon and Barak and Samson and David and Samuel. In verse 33, he says, who through faith subdued kingdoms and wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured. He lists all these people, and he lists their great things of subduing kingdoms and all the things that they did. And now he gets to those who are nameless, and he calls them others. Others had a trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. And we come to chapter 12. He lists a group of martyrs who through multitude of things unthinkable. Just one. It says here, just to remind you of one, it says, and in sheepskins and in goatskins, being destitute. One of the things that they did to Christians, they would take an animal skin and they would take that thing, and if you've never been around an animal skin, it shrinks over time. And they would wrap and sew a Christian up into an animal skin to the place that they could not get it off of them. And they would set them to wander in the hills where wolves and all kinds of beasts would have at them. They couldn't see it with the skin wrapped around them. They could not defend themselves. They were set to wander out, born inside of that sheepskin for our freedom, for the free exercise of our faith. You see, America was built on its faith. Its freedom comes from its faith. When we cease to be faithful, we will cease to be free. We have to remember our faithful. We have to keep the faith in this age, and we have to remember those who died for the faith. We have to mark them. He says, he comes to chapter 12, he builds this argument of all those that were so hallowed in the past, those that had been faithful, those that kept the faith, those that had, for faith, given their lives for the faith. They were faithful. Name others. Then he comes to chapter 12, he says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction as of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You see, the place that we fall, the place that the Christian needs to be strongest, is in his mind. You see, oftentimes the attack on the church is not always a physical one. The attack is one that wears upon our mind. It wears at our soul. It attacks us from right here. It'll make you start thinking, is the Christian life worth it? Is it worth it to go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night? Is it worth it to give my life to this? Well, folks, there are men and women who died so that we could be free on our earthly plane. Men that counted their life forfeit so that we could have freedom to go from state to state and worship openly in this country, however we saw fit. So is it not, if that is a true sacrifice, a day that we will set aside to memorialize our dead as a nation, is not the Christian life and those that have given the ultimate sacrifice for Christ not worthy of our time? Is this life, and in truth, this book begs every one of us to be a living sacrifice. We live in a day and age where that is not preached very much and not talked about very seldom. But the thing that we do on a daily basis is we carry about the weights of this life. What do you mean a weight? Well, all of the things of this earthly life. Too many times we bury ourselves in debt and we're weighed down by it. Too many times we bury ourselves in earthly cares that will not matter in eternity. We're so bogged down with doing good, we don't do anything for the faith. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, I'm not after you today, I'm just saying. And then he moves on to the sin that so easily besets us. See, when you got saved, God saved your soul. But we're still wrapped in mortal, sinful flesh. And it has a besetting sin. Don't lie to yourself and think that you're sinless. You have something that gets you every time you approach that thing. Every time you give it an inch, it takes a mile in your life. And God says, I want you to be so separated, so sold out. I want you to give yourself and keep the faith to the point where you lay aside the weights. The things that would cause you or slow you down from running the Christian race, he wants you to set them aside for the cause of Christ. He wants you to take the sin that so easily besets you and seek to find victory over those things. This Christian life is a battle. We have fought many and lost many, not only in the Christian faith, but also as a nation. And their memory, we remember them on Memorial Day. It makes me sick to my stomach when I hear people talk about our history, whether we should have been in a fight or we shouldn't have been. Wherever we planted our dead was an honored and hallowed place where we went and fought for freedom because someone asked for our help. You see, the reason that we've been all over the world and we've spent billions and billions of dollars because people believed in freedom like we did. And as a nation, we still are not so far removed from freedom that we don't realize that it is not this just the gift of people who live in the United States, but it is a gift that God gave every man. And that if someone asks for our help, it has been our motto as a nation to lend them our lives and our solemn honor to go and try to help them be free. Now, we live in a day and age where that's not popular anymore because the world has forgotten God. And freedom is only deserved for those who wave the red, white, and blue. But that is not a godly concept at all. That flag stands. How many of you remember the lady that stands in a harbor that we did not build, but that a nation sent us? Who calls to the world, and it just like David, didn't say send us the best and the brightest. It sent us, send us your poor and needy. You're destitute. Because we believe under the cause and the flag of freedom, people can be different. They can be greater than they've ever been because of freedom. Folks, I just want you to know this morning, remembering helps us stay the course. Remembering the faithful will definitely help us to mark where we ought to be. You know, when we talk about remembering the faithful, we say, well, who do you look for? I look way past Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Noah, Abel, I look way past every one of them, and I look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. If you're not careful, you'll keep your eye on a man who will fail you. But there's one man that's never failed. There's one man that came from heaven and died on a cruel, rugged cross and rose again on the third day and is seated at the right hand of God. And he will come back and win a fight that no other man could win. And he'll set his kingdom up upon earth and we will rule and reign with him one day. That same Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. We need to keep our eye on Jesus. lest we faint in our minds. You know, too often we take our eyes off Jesus and we start thinking, is it worth it? Let me remind you, Jesus is worth it. Amen. The faith is worth it. You say, what about those that we've lost? They died thinking it was worth it. We need to stay the course. What about those? Listen, I look out across this auditorium, and not those that died some martyr's death, but as a living sacrifice, laid carpet in this building. As a living sacrifice, put sheetrock on the walls. As a living sacrifice, built cabin after cabin after cabin, dug a creek, and gave themselves their whole life long for the cause of the faith. How can I do any less? How can you do any less? How can we not set aside the weights that weigh us down and give ourselves wholly to Jesus Christ? How can we let the sin that so easily besets us stop us from doing those things that are impossible for us, but with God? I spoke to my Sunday school class this morning. People often talk about when I go places that I have big shoes to fill for Pastor Carter. But folks, he wore his shoes out. He worked and slaved in his generation for the people of Haines City. And I want to be faithful. I want to keep the faith. I want to be, if it has to come to that, I want to be one of these that no one really remembers my name but others. Followed up some of those of the great in the faith. And got this auditorium was built not just by Pastor Carter, but the faithful who gave and sacrificed and worked until midnight so that it could be open and the power could be on. And if we'll fill it up and maybe even expand the auditorium or build a new one, it will only happen because the faithful decided to keep the faith. Because they decided that this generation shall not perish from the earth without hearing the name of Jesus Christ preached and the gospel shared with them. I want to read this to you. You know, there was this thing that we sent out when we really got our minds together as a people in this nation. We sent out a Declaration of Independence. And I think they misnamed it. They sent it as a Declaration of Independence from a nation, but really it was a Declaration of Dependence upon God. It said this, standing tall, straight and unwavering, the men wrote this on the Declaration of Independence. They pledged this. For the purpose of this declaration, with firm reliance on the protection of the divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other ourselves, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. What would our church be if we decided this morning to declare that together, think about this, that for the cause of others' freedoms, so that they might be saved, that we would pledge together as a church, mutually pledge to each other ourselves, our fortunes, and our sacred honor, that we would give and go and do whatever God would will us to do so that souls could be saved. How many of you today, if you're here and you're not saved, would declare that Jesus is the Christ and you would put your faith and trust in him? You'd turn to him for salvation. Turn from anything else you believed in. It's not baptism that saves. It's not a good life or living for him that would save a person, but simply the sacrifice that Jesus made on a cruel, rugged cross and his rising again on the third day. See, the gospel is truly the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Not believing that Jesus plus something else, but Jesus plus nothing, that his sacrifice was enough, and that one day he has the power to raise you again or to rapture you from earth. With heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, the message may have seemed solemn to you, but the title was Remember and Keep the Faith. As a Christian, I ask you this morning, you don't have to come to the altar, but I ask you somewhere inside yourself to declare again that as a member of this church, as a part of this body, that you'll pledge yourself, your fortune, and your sacred honor, that this place will remain as long as you're a part of it, that you'll stay the course, that you'll do what's necessary to see the cause of Christ go on. And if you're here and you're not saved, why don't you step out and come and put your faith and trust in a holy God who sent his son to die on Calvary and pay for your sin. How many of you this morning, while heads are bowed and no one's looking around but me and God, you'd put your hand up and say, "Preacher, I'd make that pledge. I'd make again that pledge to God, and I'm going to give myself and my fortune, my sacred honor to the Lord." Would you slip it up and let me pray for you this morning? I appreciate those hands. If you're here and you're not saved, how many would slip your hand up and say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I've never put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you pray for me?" Would you slip your hand up? Is there one anywhere across the auditorium this morning that would let me pray for you that way? I don't see any hands. I'm going to pray as you stand to your feet. When I finish praying, if God spoke to your heart, I pray you'd step out and come. Dear God, this morning we beg you, God, there's many hands that went up and pledged to you. God, help us to keep our pledges. God, I pray if the hand wasn't raised, but their heart was raised, I pray that they would make that pledge to you this morning. Help us, Lord, as a church to seek the lost and to stay until you come, the course that you set before us. Lord, if there's one that needs Christ today that's not saved, help them to receive Jesus as their Savior. We pray that everyone would do what you've asked them to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Bert.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
Would you bow your head with me this morning? If you're here and you're not saved, this is an invitation for you to step out and to come to the front to receive Jesus as your personal Savior. If you're here this morning and you're saved, maybe you've never joined this church. Maybe you made the pledge, but why don't you start that pledge off by joining this church through believer's baptism or changing and moving your letter to be a member of this local church. Whatever God wants you to do, please step out and do it this morning as Brother Bert sings.
Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God.
Some have come. Maybe you need to come. Maybe you need to come and be saved. Maybe you've been having some doubts about your salvation or even just not sure where you'd go if you died today. Well, let us take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that your home will be heaven. How to put your trust and faith in a Savior who came from heaven and died on Calvary for your eternal soul. Let us tell you how you can receive eternal life. If you're here this morning and you need to join the church through baptism, please don't grip the pew anymore. Come and join this local church through baptism. It pictures the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It shows that you're not ashamed of your Savior, but that you're willing to picture him in that baptismal tank this morning. Whatever it is God wants you to do, would you step out and come, Brother Burton?
Just as I am, poor wretched, blind, sight rich as healing of the mind, yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come, just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believed, O Lamb of God, I come.
All right, I'm going to let you be seated. We have a few things to share with you this morning. Thank you. All right, Miss Stevens, if you step up here with us. Now, she has received the Lord as her Savior and desires membership in the church by statement. Everybody that would accept her, if you'd slip your hand up this morning, amen, and so carried, and you're in. All right, if you'll just stay here for a moment. We have some other ladies. If you two ladies will come up, one is named Cassandra and then Christine Caesar. Both of them are coming today. They've received Jesus as their Savior, and they desire membership in the church by baptism, all right? And so they're not. We don't have a sign letter for mom and dad yet, so we'll get that, but we'll go ahead and vote on them now. And so everybody that have them join the church, amen. Praise the Lord. And so carried, and so you guys are in, and you're in. As soon as you get baptized, we'll get that. They're on the gold bus, amen, and that is the Sigmund's bus, right? Susie, amen, who just had a baby, all right? So again, and so let's stand together. I want you to come by and welcome these folks with the right hand of fellowship. We'll ask Brother Doug Auchus. Brother Doug, will you come down and close us in prayer this morning? It's always a good day to have a veteran pray for us. I appreciate this man and all that he does for our radio station, and we appreciate you folks being here and joining the church this morning.
Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you, Lord. Thank you for this day and for these folks who've come to join the church. And I pray, Lord, for families of those who've gone on, Lord, for these soldiers, Lord. There's still many out there who have died for the cause of our country, Lord, for freedom. I pray for the families, Lord, that you would take care of them today. And Lord, this is a day of remembrance tomorrow. And I pray, Lord, that we would actually remember. Thank you for all you do, for all you're going to do. Bring folks back safely. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.